guys. The show is called American Honor, and it's brought to you by RBN. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. The show is all about exposing corruption and hopefully causing some people to be held accountable for their actions, their negative actions, I might say. Before we get started, I wanted to share something with you. I've got diabetic neuropathy. This is where your feet catch fire and stays on fire 24/7. Well, I found a way, the Martinez way of coping with this, because obviously it doesn't let you sleep. What you do is you curl up on the couch, you get yourself an electric throw, put it over your body all the way down to your ankles, and then you put your feet on a bag of ice. Well, son of a gun, if it doesn't work, I got a couple hours of really, really good sleep. It's not the best method. I mean, from your ankles down, you're freezing. And then, of course, you got the throw, the electric throw, that keeps your body from, going into shock or something. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about, we haven't for a while, is Robert Lavoie Finicum and the Hammonds and the Bundys. And it seems like it's kind of like gone the wayside. Well, I tell you what, the FBI and their contractors are going to have to go a long way in order to cover up the Robert Lavoie Finicum ambush, assassination, and murder up in Burns, Oregon in January 26, 2016. Haven't heard too much about that. This is where Robert Lavoie Finicum was driving a vehicle full of people, following in a caravan another vehicle that was. They were all going over to Grant County, and they were going to give lectures and classes on constitutional law, and let the kinfolk. I shouldn't say kinfolk, but let the local yokels get to hear about what their constitutional rights are and how they're being pushed around by the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, not the Black Lives Matter. Don't confuse the two. Haven't heard too much about them lately. Maybe they're just going to fade away like everything else, anything else that's phony. So we're going to talk about Robert Lavoie Finicum. Now, that was probably one of the most blatant acts by our federal government. And everybody's in cahoots up there in Burns, Oregon, the judge, the federal judge, the BLM, some of the sheriffs up there, especially the one that's assigned in Burns, Oregon. I'm surprised that he's even still around. Kind of unusual. He was appointed by the fake judge that they got up there instead of elected. Of course, it really doesn't matter all that much with the way they do elections for sheriffs. Probably in Las Vegas and Clark County, Nevada, we probably haven't had a real election, or at least an honest one, in decades. I mean, ever since they got those electronic voting machines, all made by George Soros in South America, how's that kind of grab you? Our voting machines, American voting machines, are made in South America. And George Soros owns the companies that make these things. So you wonder, he sold them to about 16 states. And out of those 16 states, they're still investigating the election fraud. I don't say voter fraud because that implies that the voter himself has something to do with the fraud. No, they're just using the machines like everybody else. And blindly believing that these machines, these voting machines, are actually accurate and they really care that your vote counts. And all they do is manipulate the machines or eliminate them altogether and just make up the numbers. Joseph Stalin said something in 1946 that was rather profound. He says it really doesn't matter who you vote for. It only matters on who counts the votes. And that is just about it, folks. That's the bottom line, is we need to go back to paper ballots. It's probably the best way. It's not foolproof, but at least it gives the voter a chance to have his vote accepted and counted. But that's neither here nor there. I want to talk more about Robert Lavoie Finicum. And that's a name, folks, that is basically should be instilled in everybody's memory. He was murdered, folks. He was murdered and assassinated in an ambush by our own federal government. Sad to say. But if you don't believe that this could happen to you or can't happen to you, well, I got some swampland in Florida I'd like to sell you, too. Well, it looks like we got a caller on the line, and it is Doug, my favorite former special agent for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Doug, are you there?
I'm here, Gordon. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, except I'm fighting this diabetic neuropathy thing, and it is ugly. Ugly. It's hell. It's hell getting old. You know what I mean?
You give your life for the job, and then as soon as you get handed your retirement papers, everything starts to go wrong. Like a car, you should have sold to CarMax before it started breaking down. And now you should spend your time going to the doctor, like I do too. You know?
Oh no! I don't want to tell me that your health is going.
It's not going. It's someplace. It's a rattle in the engine. The mechanic is still trying to figure out where the rattle is coming from.
Oh man, that's ugly, man. That is really ugly. So, you know anything about this Robert Lavoie Finicum?
You know, I've done some reading on it, and they haven't published the final. You know, they've said that the Oregon State Troopers were justified, and I just watched the videos that were, you know, from inside the car and then from the outside, and you know, Finicum was shot, and it was a tragedy. I think, you know, you have to look at this, and they can't just take the shooting itself. You have to take everything that happened before.
And that's right.
When you look at that, because they were armed, they took over a federal building, and so they were occupying it. And yes, they were trying to meet with the sheriff, but unfortunately, they were taking over a federal building, not a county building, where it wouldn't have involved the feds. And you have to look at this. They tried to stop them. They tried to do a car stop. And the most, you know, and I could see them saying, okay, this is enough. And if these guys are going to be out doing something, going to meet the sheriff, we're going to stop them in transit. Because that's when you're the most vulnerable. And I've done executive protection for judges and stuff. And that's the most dangerous, to protect these when they're in transit. So they try to stop them. And they figure they got them. Well, I you know, you see Finicum talking to them. And finally, they all decide, okay, we're going to take off. We're going to make a run for it. And they do. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple miles down the road, there's a roadblock. And so instead of stopping, and then that probably would have negated most of what happened afterwards, instead he tries to go around them, he crashes into the snowbank, and you know, he gets out of the car. And now he's getting out of the car, and he's gesturing, and he's doing all this stuff, and you have there were two Oregon State Troopers behind them and one in front of them. And why the one in front of them would have a taser when you believe the guy was armed is beyond me, but that's training issue, and that's for another call. But then they get out. And he's waving his arms, and they believe he was armed. I know they said that he had a 9mm in his pocket, but then other people said he didn't have it. And you know, and then he's gesturing, and he turns around, or he's going for the pocket, so the troopers say. And then they shoot him. Now, the two guys
in the back, Doug.
In the feds, that you don't shoot people in the back. I think the only people that are allowed to shoot people in the back were the Bureau of Prisons, and it used to be the U.S. Marshals, and I was there as a U.S. Marshal when they changed the policy under Janarino and said you couldn't run away, you couldn't shoot him in the back unless you had done hours of research before showing how he had this violent history and he had a bone to pick with somebody, and if he got away, he was going to hurt that person. Then you could shoot him in the back. In other words, you were going to get it if you shot him in the back. But apparently in Oregon state law, they were allowed to do that. Those policemen were allowed to do it, and they were clear to the shooting. I think people get upset about the FBI.
When did they clear them of the shooting?
That was, I think, oh my God. It was put, they came out, it was in the Oregon Live newspaper, that the Oregon State Police cleared the three off. They cleared their troopers of the shooting.
Right.
And
right.
then they came back. Now, the FBI people and their you know, world-famous hostage rescue team, they went, and one of them shot two or three times. And, you know, one struck the car, and I think one missed. And I know there's one bullet. Was it Ammon Bundy? One of the Bundys got a bullet in his arm. And
yeah, it's Ryan.
Ryan
Bundy still has the bullet from the feds, yeah.
So he won't let them take it out of his arm. So he won't let them take it because it's his property right now. And I guess they didn't want to go get a search warrant because, God forbid, it would belong to one of the FBI agents. So, you know, they have to go get a warrant to get that other bullet. So
why do you think that Ryan Bundy doesn't want him to take the bullet out?
I don't know. I because it would show somebody shot him. I mean, I don't know who, because there's one or two bullets that hit the car. And you know, obviously there was another one. Unless,
right.
You know, I was thinking, well, maybe there's an accidental discharge in the car. But they never fired in the car. So again,
right.
you know, if he's injured at the scene, it's got to be one of those five people or six. No, there was three Oregon State Troopers, and then there was in the shooting, and then there was like four FBI agents that were there also. And
right.
so, you know,
Let me ask you this. Who do you think is ultimately responsible?
For the shooting?
Yeah, for Robert LaFoy Finnegan's murder.
One of those three Oregon State Troopers.
Who ordered the Oregon State Troopers to set up and do the roadblock and all that?
Oh, the feds, of course. The FBI.
So the feds would have ultimate responsibility for what happened.
Well, the roadblock is legitimate. There's nothing wrong with doing a roadblock. There's nothing wrong with doing a felony car stop to try, and that's what they term it when you're going to go. It's not just a speeding ticket, you know, like a guy speeding, so you pull him over. This is a felony car stop, so you're gonna take this with all seriousness. So what they did at the stop and then what they did at the roadblock was all legitimate. That's within their rights to do. Okay, it's you know, they're going to sue them civilly. I think now the widow wants to sue them civilly.
Right.
I assume they got to sue the police department because, at least from what I've read, none of the FBI bullets hit. You know, they hit a car and they missed, and none of them hit Finnegan. So they are absolved. They're not responsible for that shooting. So the only people you can shoot. The only people you can sue are the Oregon State Police, or the state of Oregon, for causing the accidental death. And
well,
so you're really in this, you know, but they've been cleared.
Yeah.
But so that means they're not going to charge them criminally. The Justice Department's not going to go prosecute those troopers for a violation of Finnegan's civil rights. So the only thing
right.
that you can do is sue them civilly. So this
right.
is, and so you may have a better chance. And plus, if you sue them in Oregon, they found
uh-huh.
the Bundys, right? All of them not guilty. So that should show you what the attitude of the jury is. So if you wind up with that, and I could very well see the state of Oregon cut the check and going, we're sorry about that he had to die, but, you know, he shouldn't have gotten out of the car, but we'll, you know, tie goes to the runner, here you go, here's a check for whatever amount, and we're sorry. You know, or they do one of those things
right.
where nobody declares guilt. Because this is, you know, Mr. Finnegan bears some responsibility in this. It's not completely like he was, if they had shot him when he was sitting in the car in the very beginning, absolutely. There's a problem all over the place.
So he gets out of the car with his hands up, and that's what the video, I've looked at that video, I think, 20 times. He's got his hands up. And then he shot, in my opinion, he shot in the back. He takes his right arm and holds his guts in that are probably blown out since he got shot in the back with a rifle. Then he takes three rounds to the back, and believe it or not, I have the autopsy report of that.
Well, then you have...
And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at that, I'm going, oh my God, man. This guy got shot three times in the back with his hands in the air. I mean, that's what everybody is perceiving. I know that we all have a different perspective in everything, but I guess if they had done, I understand there were FBI undercover agents that were in that vehicle.
Well, that's really, Well,
yeah. They got undercover agents that were part of the occupiers of that refuge, and they had undercover agents in the vehicle. Now, what the hell is going on here? You got an undercover agent in the vehicle, and people are shooting at the vehicle as it drives away?
Just because they have those three initials doesn't mean they're always the best.
Boy, you got that right.
You know, they have a history. Hey, remember what happened with Randy Weaver?
The reason I say that, in my opinion, that the feds own a responsibility for what happened. They're the ones that set all this up. The Oregon State Troopers that set this up.
I understand, and your point is valid. But when you're in civil court, you can sue everybody in sight. And then, you know, who gets to swim to the shore first? So you're absolutely right. They could probably name everybody in this thing and then figure it out from there.
Well, just to change channels for a second, and again, your boys, the VATF was at Waco.
Yes.
How is it that the federal government wouldn't be liable for the stuff that happened in Waco?
Because you had a legitimate warrant to arrest him, and they went there with the purpose of arresting him. Koresh had a cache of weapons, but I think we've talked about this before. Koresh had a cache of weapons, and he would hand them out, like on the old ships, like in the Errol Flynn films. You know, they'd hand out the muskets to the sailors because they were going to go fight another ship. And then what happens, he would hand them out when he was paranoid, and then he'd take them back because he didn't want these people going against him. So he handed out. So they were waiting. We had an undercover there that said, they know you're coming. They're waiting for you. So these guys already locked and loaded. So they bear the responsibility of the shootout. So because they started shooting first into the horse trailers that they had. And so that's on them.
Yeah.
That's on them. And it, you know, it's that one I you know, they kind of got, you know, when you start shooting at the police like that, that's kind of, you get what you get then at that point.
Right. You know, did you ever see that documentary or movie, like you like to call them, that documentary on Rules of Engagement?
No,
have you ever seen
not.
That documentary?
No, I have not.
Okay, I tell you, I just recently saw it, and I looked at it, and at one point, at least in the documentary, they say the shooting began when they went to the front doors of the church. And the bullets that were first shot came from the outside in. And then there were some bullets that came from the inside out. Now, this is pretty disturbing in a way, where you can see the ATF agents pull in with their vehicles and start blasting into the front of the church. Now, what happens at the horse trailers or anywhere else, it doesn't show that. But it does show the front of that church getting riddled with automatic gunfire from the feds. Now, this is good evidence to see for somebody to make the accusation that the feds shot first, or that the Davinians shot first. So they obtained the doors and I guess sections of the wall to kind of like illustrate where the shots were fired from. And then all of a sudden, according to the documentary, they lost the evidence. So anyway, we've got to go to commercial. Please stay on the line, and I'll be back with you.
Okay.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday passing by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know that when I won't. Working for a living.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If the lonely night surrounds you.
Okay, I'm back. This is Gordon Martinez with American Honor, brought to you by RBN. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And we're on the line with a former BATF agent, Doug, from Virginia. We're talking about Waco a little bit. And you've seen all the documentaries on the Waco ones. I know there's more than one, but they show the flame coming out of the muzzle of the tank that they brought in there. And
that was the FBI. That was because, remember, after the initial shooting incident died down, they have a policy where they take out the agency that was involved, the ATF. And they bring in a fresh agency because, you know, temper's running hot. So it was actually the FBI took over of the outside perimeter.
Oh, I didn't know that. And that's like policy when the first agency kind of, I guess, gets things pretty well stirred up. A new agency comes in and they start from all over again or what?
Well, they will then maintain, in this case, they maintain perimeter security. And they probably started communicating with Koresh and those people for a surrender.
Right, right.
And that were also,
you know, both you and I, we got a long career in a long time in the business. And you know, I guess maybe loyalties sometime kind of like ooze out until you recognize that your law enforcement agency isn't exactly as honorable as they should be.
And
you start
and I
seeing
have no
certain
problem.
Incidents where, you know, and we live in an imperfect world, so, you know, things happen. But the problem is that the law enforcement agency does not admit that. They never will. They will never admit wrong. Otherwise, I guess they could be sued to high heaven and probably dissolve the agency. But at least that's what I know about the LVMPD. They'll never admit wrong. They'll just
write a check.
Yeah,
they'll write a check,
and it's not their money. What the hell? And hopefully things will die down with it. Well, I'm not one of those people that allow that to die down. When I see a mistake that they should be held accountable for, they should have had oughta not done what they did. There's several ways. Me, I mean, I'm just a regular guy who's got a lot of law enforcement experience. What I don't understand, if they wanted Koresh, why didn't they just wait for him to come in town to get his groceries and stuff? That's what he was doing.
They tried. Koresh had a, there were complaints periodically filed on him with Child Protective Service in town, and they would come out, and somebody would talk to him, and Koresh would come in town, and he would sit down with some, you know, with an investigator or something, and talk to them, and say whatever he was going to say.
Okay, now that was from the Sheriff's Department, hang on, that was from the Sheriff's Department investigation, not from the feds, though, right?
No, my understanding was that they went, and the ATF tried to get the local, like social services, to call him in and get him out.
And they had to go through the sheriff to do that, correct?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
The feds can go to CPS or something like that without notifying the sheriff?
I used to do that when I was a marshal. If we found out that I had an outstanding warrant for you, and I knew you were on public, you were on social welfare, some public benefit, public assistance. If I knew somebody in there, I would say, can you call them in for something? And what they would do is they'd put after a while they got to those cards that they would go, swipe in to go get their, payment, monthly money, and they'd go to these check cashing places. And what happens is the person would put something in there, they would block it, say there's a problem, you have to come down to the main office to clear it up. And so, they would do that to the person would come down, and we'd be waiting for them. They're in the room over there. We'd come out and grab them and take them away.
And that that was at the behest of the marshal's office, correct?
Of the individual deputy running the case.
Right. So I guess my understanding, at least with Metro, is that any time the feds were involved in anything, maybe the individual agent wouldn't notify the sheriff. But somewhere along the line, the supervisors in the police department would let at least the administration know that the feds were involved and that we were working with them. That's all I'm saying. That
only maybe on a major investigation, but not on a regular case. Because I knew people working in New Orleans, and they would hardly ever tell the local New Orleans police department. It was so corrupt. So there was no way, because everybody was related to somebody. And if
gotcha.
You were doing something,
gotcha. You, okay. Yeah, now I understand. Yeah, I see how you would do that.
You're not required.
Okay. The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Right.
Visit our website.
Well, it looks like we're going to commercial. Thank you, Doug, for calling in. We're going to get into some really heavy-duty stuff here pretty soon. So I'd like you, if you don't mind, call back in, and let's talk some more.
You bet. Looking forward to it. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, Doug. All right.
Bye-bye.
So we're talking about that. My whole show is all about corruption, exposing it, exposing the mistakes, and holding people accountable for it. That's all I'm saying. And like I said before, I've got a great deal of loyalty to the law enforcement community. For the most part, they're okay. They do an outstanding job, and they risk their lives doing it. But every once in a while, they step on it, okay? And that's where it should come out. The truth should come out because everybody can handle it. So I'll be back in a few.
Telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a four-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Martinez. The show is called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And we have Andy from Texas. Andy, are you there?
Hey, well, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank
I'm going to take exception to the last caller because I don't buy into anything that he said. Lavoie Finicum was shot three times in the back. His vehicle was shot at several times as he came up to this so-called roadblock and whatnot. And, and the federal government can't own anything. Why? Because they're not doing bake sales or yard sales or anything to get their money. They're stealing it from the people. So they can't own anything. So if this is some sort of federal reserve that these people were taking over, they were merely making a statement. I mean, this got completely out of control. But when you get to David Koresh jogged around Waco, Texas. So if he had a warrant for his arrest, really, he talked to the sheriff on a regular basis, okay, almost daily as he jogged around and stuff. So what this guy just called in and said to you is absolutely redundant in comparison to what really happened.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you that my understanding is Koresh did kind of like dance around the place, and he walked around freely. Why the hell didn't they just take him in instead of having the assault on the church?
And that's my point. And there's also things that they said that he was running some sort of meth out of his church, and that he had.
Well,
this,
I didn't hear that one. Where did that come from?
Well, that came from a story that probably is invalid. But I mean, anything to make these FBI people valid. But you know what? We don't even have any evidence of any of the proof that there was a cache of weapons or something in there because they burned the damn place down. And not only did they just burn the damn place down, they killed many children in the fact that they did that. It's absolutely ridiculous to think for one minute.
What was the final count? 82?
Something like that, exactly. Women and children, absolutely. And ultimately, David Koresh didn't do anything wrong. He was running a church, and surely he wasn't playing by the rules because he had several wives or whatever. He thought he was the Messiah, whatever. It doesn't matter. How is that a national defense problem? Why did the FBI even get involved in it? I understand that there was weapons being running. Yeah, I could get that, but there's no proof of that. Nobody showed any proof of that. And I'm pretty sure your caller who called in just before me, I'm sure he'll call back up and try to refute that. But there's no evidence of any of this.
He's going to get an opportunity next Saturday, so I'll make sure that you tune in. Okay, Andy?
Oh, absolutely. I stay tuned to you guys 24/7.
Okay. Anyway, we got another caller on the line. Thanks for calling in, Andy. And
thank you, sir.
Call in next Saturday, and we'll discuss this more.
Yeah, I'll repeat it with your boss.
Chris, are you there?
I'll repeat it with you guys.
Chris?
Yes, sir, Gordon. Good afternoon to you. I hope you're feeling
good. Good afternoon to you.
You know, I'm very, very studied and been watching this LaVoy-Finicum shooting and watched the tapes multiple times over, and I can pretty much cite the things from memory that I observed watching that with a critical law enforcement eye, much like yourself. Uh-huh. Whenever we watch the tape, we can really stop whenever he aggresses after he's left the roadblock approaching the next one when they had the kill zone set up.
Right.
Whenever he swerved around the autos that were specifically placed, leaving the left side as he was traveling, opened up. And you see a couple of the individuals come up, and one of them crashes down, I think it was by a silver pickup with the tailgate down. And he fires what may have been a rubber bullet or some other projectile, and you see LaVoy reach down with his right and left hand both. And that's when they claim they thought he was going for a gun that he didn't have until they planted it on him. And, of course, once he did that, then that's when they fired from the back, the shooting stand, likely Jan Hrucci, whatever his name is, the sniper also from Waco and Ruby Ridge, whose father was
a Comic-Con
pilot.
Is that right? He was there?
Yes, sir.
Really? What was his name again?
I think it's Lon or Jan Hrucci, Haruchi, sniper for the FBI.
Now, he was there at Ruby Ridge also?
Yes, sir. He's the one that shot the boy and Vicky while she was holding the baby in her arms and the dog.
Isn't that just kind of coincidental?
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Remember, I'm a former Gaming Control Board enforcement agent,
uh-huh.
And I know what blockers do, and you saw that. They threw LaVoy's hat off in the grass after they'd shot him and killed him. He was laying down. And then a cluster of them clustered around him. That's when they planted that 9mm Ruger P-89DC inside his jacket. He wasn't an auto-carrying man. He was a six-shooter carrying guy. He didn't have a pistol on him
that day. I know that. I've seen it on several occasions in other photographs with LaVoy. I've seen that. I've never seen him carry a 9mm or a semi-automatic.
Well, that particular 9mm P-89DC Ruger had turned up in the FBI's database on NCIC. It's now some sort of international poll database, they call it, but at the time it was NCIC. It had been recovered previously by the FBI, so it was a convenient throwdown weapon.
Yeah, I guess it would be, you know. So does that mean that he had the 9mm in his waistband, or did he have a shoulder holster, or what?
No, he didn't have one. They planted it inside his jacket. What they were doing.
That's
when they
what I'm asking you. So along with that 9mm, I mean, did they also plant a shoulder holster?
I don't know that he had a shoulder holster on. He may have had one, but that's something I don't know. But I've gone over the police reports from testimony up there, the videos multiple times over. That particular mm-hmm. location was specifically selected because there was no radio communications there. I don't think they were jamming it. I think it's just a dead zone as far as being able to repeat signals from there.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a shooting stand.
From my studies, I understand that there was an undercover FBI agent inside that vehicle.
Oh, yes.
Confirm that or what?
Absolutely. Well, not inside Lavoie's vehicle, but the one with Ammon and the other guy back and behind the Jeep Wrangler. There was definitely Mark McConnell, I think his name was. He was a confidential informant, undercover agent, or at least an asset for the FBI inside there, giving them direct intel.
So that direct intel must have included that they were all going over to that public gathering over there in the adjacent county, and also given intel when they were leaving, who was where, and all that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Not only that, one of the other officers that arrived on the scene after the shooting had looked inside along with the record driver inside the truck. They had many, many documents that they had recovered from the Malheur Wildlife Refuge that testified to the BLM schemes of burning people out of their houses and other sorts of nefarious activities. Boxes of them they were trying to get to John Day, Oregon, to the constitutional sheriff up there so they could get some actual investigation into the corruption of the BLM.
Now, where did you get that information about those documents?
That came off the testimony out of Oregon from the FBI and the Oregon State Police inside that language that was in that transcript of the testimony.
Boy, the tight weave that we web that we are or web that we weave in all this.
Yes.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know. I guess firsthand. I know that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies are inherently okay. It's just when they mess up that things go to hell. And actually, the cover up is worse than the incident itself. And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
That's precisely why Ammon didn't want that bullet removed from his shoulder.
I thought it was Ryan that had the bullet.
Maybe it was Ryan. I misspoke. It was Ryan didn't want it removed from his shoulder so they could get it for evidence later and prove which weapon it came from.
Well, that's good thinking, because it's not unusual for law enforcement agencies when they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, it's not unusual for them to kind of like lose evidence.
In fact, it's habitual, pattern, practice, and custom, I would say.
Well, I can only attest to the time when I arrested O.J. Simpson. None of my reports, and there were four of them, including one digital tape recording of O.J. in the car, admitting to what happened down there at the Palace Station, and also threatening my life. That tape recorder and that transcription of that tape recorder kind of went missing. Along with the officer's report, the arrest report, the booking form, and the Miranda rights card. Understand that I am the arresting officer, and I never even got a subpoena. Me and four other detectives went to the Palms Hotel to arrest O.J., and did, and none of us got subpoenaed to court.
And tampering with evidence in a federal investigation.
That's correct. And it wasn't a federal one, but there was a federal violation, and that is omitting official evidence. And that evidence is exculpatory and inculpatory. That means that the evidence wouldn't have done him any good. It would have been against him, but you still got to present it. And it was not presented.
That's because they made it disappear. It's magic.
That's right. And they can do that. And they can do that. And they can condemn anybody who even brings it up and points the finger at them. So, anyway, I appreciate your call. We got Thomas in Florida. Thomas, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Thomas. What's on your mind?
Yes, I heard you talking just a call or so back about the Waco situation.
Uh-huh.
And I'd seen this before, and there's a number of websites, but the one that I just brought up that I'm looking at right now is APFN, like Alpha, Papa, Foxtrot, November, it's .org, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it basically goes into this situation where apparently there was an old World War II airfield next to the Branch Davidians property, and they'd seen some stuff going on over there, and apparently they had some, like, high-speed, like, three-wheelers, and they were out spying and checking stuff out. And then apparently a couple of the Branch Davidians, according to this website, were able to hack into the Pentagon, like the CIA, FBI, Black Ops databases, and they discovered that the CIA had this thing called Buffalo Airlines, and they were using that airfield to transfer cocaine, laundered money, special operations agents, kidnapped children for the pedophile rings, which we're starting to find out about, and weapons. And apparently they traced it back to them, and they found out they were the ones who'd hacked in. And there's even a situation here. Oh, that guy Lon Hiroshi, yeah, who shot Vicki Weaver, he was involved shooting the people at Waco. And I heard that through another, the micro fact, they said, oh, yeah, he was up and was involved in the shooting up in...
So apparently what we're talking about is this, and how did you pronounce his last name again?
Hiroshi, Lon Hiroshi. He's the
Lon
one who shot Vicki Weaver.
He was at Waco.
He's the one who shot her, too.
Ruby Ridge. And
they say he was at Waco, but they say he was also involved in the Finicum thing. The micro effect, they thought he was involved up there, too.
Well, isn't that just a peachy king?
Yeah,
so
yeah. And then apparently...
I wonder if he's even an FBI agent. He's probably a contractor.
He's getting up there, though. I mean, he must be in his 70s now. He must be older. But, I mean, he's still... I guess he can still... whatever.
They can use the contractors, whatever, but the FBI, I know, has a age limitation.
Yeah. And, well, it says here on this website,
they can't have somebody that old.
Yeah, well, give him some contact lenses, he can still shoot.
Well, yeah, as long as he's, a contractor, I guess you can, there's no limitations. But being an FBI agent, see that's what I try to explain to everybody. The FBI doesn't get their hands dirty; they never do the actual dirty deed. They always have some kind of contractor in there that does the dirty deed, and then of course the federal government is screams foul when they get blamed for stuff like this.
I think Kennedy was all contract killers for the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hell, they probably already had their graves dug after they did that that act. I don't know if anybody is aware of out there or not, but what was the first investigation for the Kennedy assassination? What was that called? You remember?
The sheriff should have investigated it, but they didn't.
No. The sheriff of any county is the highest law enforcement officer anywhere, okay? But the JFK assassination, they had a hearing that determined that there was only one shooter, right? So then 12 years later, they have another hearing, a congressional hearing, on the assassination of JFK, and guess what the conclusion was? The conclusion of that hearing was that there was more than one shooter. But see, nobody refers to that one. They always refer to the first one. That's the one where Gerald Ford was on it, and all those, and all these high-powered people, and they didn't even have all the information available to them when they came out with that conclusion. And that conclusion was that there was only one shooter in the JFK assassination. Well, then, 12 years later, the congressional hearing on the assassination of JFK, they concluded, now that they have all the information, right? They concluded that the shooting was committed by more than one shooter. Now, folks, the definition of a conspiracy is when there is more than one person involved in the incident, okay? So when the congressional, after the congressional hearing, they officially said that there was more than one shooter, and that's called a conspiracy. But you mention that word conspiracy in any context in this world, and they're going to look at you like some kind of nutcase. Some kind of conspiracy theorists, right? So there's a perfect example of how information is withheld from the public, and that, I mean, that's pretty important. Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, yeah. Well, getting back to Waco, everybody say, well, he was a nut, he was a polygamist, he was this, he was that. That might be stuff that was made up. Basically, what happened was he was witness to a lot of stuff that was going on, you know, and it even says here, it was noted on the very first day of the Waco siege, David Koresh and two other members had appealed to the attacking special military operation that they had the computer disks and they'd turned them over to them.
Stay on the line. We'll have a couple more minutes after the commercial.
At least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know that when I won't. Working for a living. Working for a living.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Left. I wanted to clarify a little something there. That was the Warren Commission that did the first investigation on the JFK assassination. So they come up with there was only one shooter, and more than likely it was Oswald. Okay. So then 12 years later, the congressional hearing on the JFK assassination, they conclude that there was more than one shooter. Well, that is called a conspiracy, folks. So anytime anybody says the conspiracy to kill JFK, they are absolutely correct. Here you have a commission, a congressional commission, that says more than one shooter. So with that being said, Thomas, do you got anything? We got about a minute left.
Oh, yeah. No, I even heard they brought in a Corsican. One of the sharpshooters for Kennedy was a Corsican professional. And I've heard there were as many as seven teams on the ground. I mean, they
seven
had stuff,
teams?
seven. They had backups for backups. There was no way he was going to get out of there. I forget what show I was listening to, but some guy seemed to be fairly knowledgeable. He said, no, they had stuff set up, so even if he managed to speed up and take off, there was people that were going to take him out down the road even. Jeez. And, you know, Wallace, I think a guy's name was Wallace, who was LBJ's special hitman, who actually killed LBJ's sister. This is incredible. His small fingerprint, I think, was found on the rifle or somewhere up in the book depository.
Depository.
And then getting back to Koresh, apparently, like I said, he appealed to them, say, I'll give you the discs. And apparently they were given orders, no, get rid of everybody. And then apparently, you know, the bullets going through one way through the door and then the other way, they took that away as evidence. Apparently all the evidence was over in the Murrow Building in Oklahoma when it got blown up.
The Waco
stuff was stored there. Just like the Enron stuff was in the Murrow Building, Building 7 in New York.
Right.
it's incredible.
Oh, my God. I can't, you know, it is mind-boggling, and it's kind of like very depressing because I spent my entire life just about in law enforcement, and it was only at a very low level, you know, just a police officer and a police detective and robbery homicide. But when I started becoming aware, I don't know if you've even heard the story about the corrections officer, Kevin Scott Daly, in 2007, was murdered. His head was cut off and was left on top of the desert by Lake Mead for everybody to see and to receive a nice scary message that if you mess around with the mob in Las Vegas, this is what will happen to you. How's that one grab you?
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. I really do.
I think it is, too. Well, hopefully there's more people like me that are willing to expose it and we're willing to stand up and stand tall and bring some of these people to accountability. Anyway, thank you for calling, Thomas. Call in next week,
okay.
And we'll continue the discussion.
All right.
So,
thank you.
This is what we have, folks. It's getting hotter and hotter. These incidents that we were brought up, they're old, but people have forgotten them. They have forgotten them, and we shouldn't forget these things. Not until the people that are responsible for this are held to the accountability and held to justice and prosecuted if necessary. Too much of this stuff has just gone by the wayside just because if somebody's got more money to who they know and they got power and they got all this. So anyway, it looks like we're coming to the end of our show. Please tune in next week and we'll bring some more of this out. So catch you on the flip side. Gord Martinez signing off.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.